Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
All right, I have a test for you. We're in an academic setting, university. Here's the test. How many would rather have 1,344,000 dollars or make an impact on the world? Now, answer in your hearts, because I know everybody would say, oh, it's easy over here. It was April, I was in the Middle East, and I was with about 20 national from various countries mission leaders, and I heard this story. So I want you to hold this thought about which one you would take. Just hold that for a moment. And so the person told me about this is in the country of Azerbaijan. The lady had a little baby, but didn't want the little baby. So the day the baby was born, they threw the baby on a trash pile in the city. And then the rats from the trash heap came up and began to nibble on the little girl's nose and lips. You can see the little deformity. See that? Well, a passerby found the baby, scooped her up, took her to an orphanage. And the little baby grew up there at the orphanage until she was 7 years old. She had a little best friend, a little boy. And at age 7, the girls go to a girls' orphanage, all girls, and the boys go to all boys' orphanage until they're 17 years old. She wasn't adopted, perhaps because of the deformity. And at age 17 in Azerbaijan, they turned them out to the streets. She turned to an alternative lifestyle to try to find the love that she had never experienced. And then a missionary met her, shared the gospel. She crossed over into a right relationship with God, joined the church, was baptized, and then one day, remember that little 7-year-old boy? He had become a believer. And he walked into the church, and he saw her. He said, oh, you're here. I've been looking for you all my life. I loved you then in the orphanage, and I love you today. So they got married about 2 years ago. And just this last spring, they had this little baby girl. That's a great love story, isn't it? Now, which would you rather do? Would you like to somebody give you $1,344,000 or be that missionary that met that little gal, 20-year-old gal, and led her to Christ, see her change, see her marry a godly guy, see them start raising a godly family? Which would you rather have? Speaking of rats, this is the Mushahar people group in India. Now, they are known for eating rats. Deb and I watched a special on this not too long ago. They just have these creative ways of catching the rats because they live in the trash dumps. And to have the meat, they've learned to catch the rats and eat the meat. Now, they're just destitute. Somebody went to the Mushahar and led these people from that people group to Christ. These are two pictures of two little church plants among the Mushahar. Which would you rather do? Would you rather somebody give you $1,344,000 or be used by God to go to a people group like this who are completely cut off from the gospel, share the gospel, and see them rescued not just from sin, hallelujah, but rescued from an awful life? Here's a text. This is from a 21-year-old student at the University of South Carolina. I had the privilege of sharing the gospel with him back in February. He prayed to receive Christ. Every Sunday night, he has to text me with what he learned from Scripture, learned from the Lord that week. He has to read 7 chapters of Scripture each week. And so he texts me every Sunday night. Sometimes it's Monday night, but every week. Now, you know my question. Which would I rather have? Because I ask myself these questions. $1,344,000 or to lead this young student at the University of South Carolina to Christ. And I thought, there are a lot of students at the University of South Carolina. I might take the money and just go lead somebody else to Christ. And then I thought, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, it says, Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me. And then I've been studying in the Timothys, and in the 1 Timothy, chapter 6, verse 17, it says, instruct those who are rich in this present world, I am very rich compared to the Mushahar, not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God. And so I thought, oh, Lord, no, I would rather make an impact, a big impact, than to make a big income. Now, here's my question. Is money bad? Dr. Smith and I and some others, Diane Moll, Peggy Lee Manoogian, Frank Medell, we were up this past week with some friends of CIU. And we met a lot of our alums in Pennsylvania. And 2 years ago, I told about this person, but I never met him in person. I'd received a letter from him because he'd read an article that I'd written. This is his picture. And he told me this story and sent me another copy of the original letter that he had sent me. It's right here. It's 2 pages. And how many are in Castle's dorm? Raise your hand. Okay. He wrote this to Mr. Castle's. And he wrote it about his mother. By the way, remember I've been telling you last time about him stroking his wife's face, saying, look at my beautiful bride, 88-year-old lady. They'd been married 67 years. She recently passed. We had their funeral a week and a half ago. So he wrote this about Mr. Castle's mother. He said, he was giving the children's sermon at Rosewood Presbyterian Church downtown, and as he stood on the edge, as he raised his feet, the soles of his shoes stayed on the floor. They were flapping. So she bought him a new pair of shoes. Then the letter says, about a year later, the Lord kept putting him on her heart, Mrs. Castle's heart. And she would wake up dreaming about him. So she went to the pastor, said, would you call, and he's on staff at the church, would you call him, at that point he's working with the youth, call him into the office. He got in the office, she said, God's put you on my heart. I want to pay for all of your tuition at CIU and for your fees and for your books. He's been associated with that church for 34 years, 11 years as a missionary sent by them to 2 unreached people groups. Now, is money bad? Absolutely not. Here, Mrs. Castle's used money to invest in a young leader who's made a huge impact, 34 years with the same church, 18 of those years as pastor. Yesterday, Dr. Rogers and I were with a student, maybe in here this morning, struggling, trusting God for his finances. Let me come back to that. So is money bad? No, but the love of money is. So here's another verse that I read in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. But those who want to get rich fall into a temptation. That's number 1. They fall into a temptation. Number 2, and a snare. Number 3, and many foolish. And number 4, harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts, or some translations, all kinds of evil. And some longing for it, $1,344,000, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Notice the word snare. Same verse, I've underlined it. Those who want to get rich fall in temptation and a snare. This brings us now back to our series, the series this year that I have the privilege as chancellor bringing you this semester, next semester, is how do we finish well? So a year ago, we looked at some judges, the first four, and we saw how they made an impact on the world. Well, this past summer, I kept studying. And so the fifth judge is Gideon. I thought, oh man, here's one of the greatest military leaders in history. I can't wait to study him. But when I got to the end of Gideon, he didn't finish well. And as I kept reading through Judges, I saw Jephthah. He didn't finish well. Then I got to Samson. We kind of know about Samson. He didn't finish well. So I thought, oh, I want to bring a series of messages to us that says, what are the disqualifiers that can take us out of making a big impact on the world? So these three are found in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. So lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. Gideon, it was the lust of the eyes. So let's see how he was disqualified. Turn or scroll to Judges chapter 8. This is one of the last paragraphs of the story about Gideon. It's after his famous battle. Remember I said he's one of the most famous military leaders in history. He took 300 guerrilla warfare soldiers and defeated 135,000 Midianites. What are the odds of that? So, verse 22. Now, let's just read this little passage. The men of Israel said to Gideon, rule over us, both you and your son, and also your son's son, for you've delivered us from the hand of Midian. Now, you know, they're thinking, wow, if we have Gideon leading us, we will never suffer from these surrounding people groups again. They keep coming every so often, and we know that's when we turn away from God. God sends these other people groups, and they make us captives, and they steal all of our crops and all of our livestock. So, verse 22, they offer him power. Rule over us, both you and, this must be a special family, and your son's son. Verse 23, but, in other words, not that, but this. But Gideon said to them, I will not rule over you, nor shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. A couple books later, 1 Samuel, around chapter 8, they're asking Samuel for a king. And God says to Samuel, they're not rejecting you, Samuel. They're rejecting me as their king. You know, Gideon has this part right. I'm not going to be your king. God's going to be your king. So he wasn't tempted by power. Verse 24 and 25, 26. 24, yet. In other words, however. Not this, but this. However, Gideon said to them, this is what I want you to do. He said, I want you to give me an earring from each of these Midianite soldiers. Just give me an earring. And he already had some ornaments from the camels, these bands that went around the camels' necks. So he wasn't tempted by power, but he was tempted by riches. Now, it says there, just look, verse 26, the weight of the gold earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels. How much money would that be? Let's do the math. 1,700 shekels equals 70 pounds in weight. How many ounces in a pound? 16. 70 times 16, quick. What? Good, very good. You can read. 1,120 ounces. How much is an ounce of gold going for these days? Well, when I put together this PowerPoint, it was $1,200 an ounce. $1,200 an ounce times 1,120 ounces equals $1,344,000. So he says, hey, don't make me king, but give me some money. Now, that's a whole lot of money. And that's great if we use our money for God's purposes. While we were up there, we had the chance to go through the museum of the Bible. awesome. The Hobby Lobby family created that because they needed a place to store all the artifacts, biblical artifacts they'd accumulated over the years. Do you know what they recently did about 2 years ago? They took 99% of their company and placed it in a trust. Now, Debbie and I, we try to raise each year how much we give. I promise you, we're not at 99% right now. One of the men on the trip who's given generously, there's some buildings named after him. He told Dr. Smith, I want to give you more. Do you know why? It's you, but not you, period. It's what he sees happening through you as we seek to educate you from a biblical worldview so that you will go out and impact the nations with the message of Christ. That's what he sees. He wants to give more and more and more. But what happened to Gideon? Verse 27. Gideon made it into an ephod and placed it in his city, Ophrah, not Oprah, Ophrah, and all Israel played the harlot with it there so that it became a snare to Gideon and to his household. You know, I got to thinking about this. How did it become a snare to Gideon and to his household? I don't see Dr. Lamper here today. Dr. Murray, you recognize this. Dr. Murray was our fifth president. I was our sixth president. Dr. Smith, you recognize this, don't you? This is a CIU medallion. The only folks that wear them are those who've served. Don't you dare post this. All right. I'll sit Gideon on you. Or the camels. So, Dr. Lamford came up with this idea. It wasn't us, was it? And I thought, are you serious? But you know, the first time I wore it, we only wear it when we're in our academic regalia, our robes, and those silly little frisbee things on our heads. And if that guy's in heaven when I get there. So, when we walked out, the professors go, wow. And you know, it's kind of like, and it's so easy to begin to think, not that it is special, but I'm special. Right? And you know, I can see as the weeks go on and Gideon has this ephod on him and the people are going, oh, wow, wow. And then it comes time for worship, you know, on Saturday morning, they go, where's Gideon? And his wife goes, he's at home polishing that thing. So he looks a little bit more special. Then it says, and it became a snare to his household. I'm beginning to think, well, how in the world did it become a snare? I can see it'd be a snare for him. How did it become a snare for his household? Then I saw verse 20. You know who one of the sons of Gideon, he had 70 sons. You know, I know the name of one of them. It's Jephthah in verse 20. And so here are these two kings of the Midianites. He says, Jephthah, go kill them. But he was kind of young. He goes, no, he didn't even draw a sword. And the two kings said, you know, he's a big chicken. I bet his dad is as big a chicken. And Gideon went, took care of him. So the word gets out on Jephthah that, you know, his friends are saying, you're a big chicken. You're a fraidy cat. You're yellow belly. And one day, dad's not home, but the ephod is, so he puts it on. And his buddies go, ooh. And Jephthah's wearing around the house. And so he begins to think, possessions make me special. And it says, all of Israel played the harlot. You know what that means? Look at verse 33. By the time you get to verse 33, they're playing the harlot with the Baals, the male gods of fertility. It means to worship them. And so now all of Israel is worshiping the ephod, something that will not last for eternity. All right. So Gideon did not finish well. So let's go back to our original question. Let me ask it differently. Which would you rather have? $1,344,000 and not finish well, or $0 and make an impact that lasts for eternity and finish well? If you desire to finish well, you must focus, catch how I say this, more on making an impact than you do on making an income. I'm not saying money's bad. Here should be your approach to money as students. Number one, tithe faithfully as a student. You make probably $2 or $3 a week, right? Tithe on it. One of the ladies we were with up in Pennsylvania, one of our alums, 86 years old. And she introduced us to her new husband. He's 85 years old. They've been married 4 years. I said, well, they used to date in college. They dated 2 years in college, and then because of the calling on her life, they went different directions. And now they're both widows, a widower and widower, widow and a widower, and they reconnected and got married. I said, how did you find him? She goes, I Googled him. And he only lived 20 miles away. And she told me a story how she had $0 and that her mom sent her $10 while she was a student. And they had a special offering in chapel for some students to go on a short-term mission trip. And she knew she needed to tithe a dollar. But God spoke to her and he says, give it all. Which brings us to the second one. Like that student yesterday, Dr. Rogers says, you need to trust God, because our God will supply all our needs according to his riches. But trusting God is not easy. You have to learn to develop those faith muscles. We were talking up here, the worship team. And she says, it's not how much money I have, it's how much money I don't have, right? Which is more valuable, to get a degree from CIU or to learn how to trust God for everything while you're a student at CIU? See the difference? You need to learn to trust God. But listen, don't go to, remember, it's easier to go to a logical extreme than to stay in the center of biblical tension. Biblical tension is this: I'm trusting God and I'm working diligently. When I was in college, first became Christian, I wanted to trust God. And I said, God, I'm going to trust you to provide all the money I need for my meals, because I didn't want my parents to pay for it. And so I started looking on the ground for money. And the first day I found $5 and I bought me lunch and dinner, cheaper back then. Next day I found $10. I'm lying. I found like a quarter. I about starved to death. I worked 3 jobs to get through college at the same time. Well, not like from 12 to 1, I was getting paid by all 3 of them. It was 12 to 1 for this job, 1 to 2 for this job. But I still learned how to trust God. The center of biblical tension, trust God to provide for you and work diligently. All right, so let's wrap up. So I'm not saying money's bad. I am saying 2 things. I'm saying don't let the lust of your eyes disqualify you like it did Gideon. I am saying Focus on making an impact more than, in other words, don't ignore this, but focus more on this making an impact more than on making an income. So as students, focus on rescuing the helpless. That little bitty girl lying on a trash heap. And the rats have begun to eat the soft, easy pieces. Focus on reaching the unreached, the Mushahar people. Focus on reaching the folks that live right around us, the 21-year-old students at USC. Focus on making an impact more than making an income. And then we'll finish well. Let's pray. Father God, these students at CIU are different. They're the future world changers. But Lord, that's not guaranteed. So Father, I pray that you would protect them from the disqualifiers, that they'll finish well, that they'll make an impact, and trust you to provide all their needs according to your riches in glory in Christ Jesus. In his glorious, precious, magnified name we pray. Amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.